Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. I want to remind you that the children's tables have clay pots. Those are for the kids to decorate. So as you sit and listen throughout the course of the service, decorate your clay pot. We want to see it at the conclusion. We kicked off last week our summer series. We will be doing 6 weeks on the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. And then we'll do 4 weeks on the New Testament book of Ephesians, followed by 6 weeks of sacraments. So we'll have 2 weeks on baptism, 2 weeks on communion, and a week on covenant relationships. Week one, last week, we studied Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and Jeremiah 7, verses 1 through 11. We learned that Jeremiah was called to a very difficult task, a task that he was created to accomplish, and that we learned that God knew him before he was even born, that God had a relationship with him before he came to the earth, that God shaped him, and God molded him perfectly for that purpose, that he was created and that he was designed. And from that, we get that we also are created, that we are designed with a purpose by our Creator. We learned that God would not accept excuses, not that he was too young, not that he didn't know what to say, but instead of accepting those excuses, God promised to guide, to protect, and to lead him throughout the journey of life. We learned that we are chosen, and yet we are also always given a choice. And those two things work together hand in hand. We learned that Jeremiah served through the course of 5 kings, 3 of those listed in Scripture. We learned about Josiah, who was a godly king, and then followed by Jehoiakim, who was corrupt and brought pagan practices and idolatry to the people, followed then by Zedekiah, who was a mix, a back and forth between the two, a righteous king and then a wicked king. From that, we learned that we are just like Jeremiah, going to face seasons and changes throughout the course of life. We are to embrace those seasons and those changes and to identify that God is present in and through them all. Jeremiah was called to give his first sermon at the temple gate in the courtyard, and God commanded him to tell the people to turn from their worship of the temple and its contents back to the God of the temple. There are so many relevant lessons, lessons relevant for the people of Jeremiah's day, lessons relevant for us today, lessons relevant throughout the course of history and future and time to come. Let's pause here for just a minute of a word of prayer. God, I thank you for these, and I thank you for your word that changes us. That's one of the ways that you shape our hearts, that you keep them soft and pliable, and you mold and make us into what you want us to be. Accomplish your purpose in this place today. Thank you that your word never returns void, but always accomplishes the word for which it is intended. It's not the words that I speak, but it's your word that transforms us into vessels worthy to be filled by your Spirit. May these things happen today in your name. Amen. Hear now Scripture from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 11.
This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions.
In this passage, we have a very true and yet also very mysterious blending of divine sovereignty and of human responsibility. The Lord uses this potter to illustrate how he deals with humanity. Notice in verses 1 through 4 how the word of God is revealed, not in the temple, and not through reading of Scripture, not that that isn't something that God does and does often, not through a powerful sermon on the side of a mountain, but through an everyday, ordinary experience, an encounter with the potter and his craft making pottery. In verses 5 through 18, we see that God reveals to Jeremiah the meaning of this encounter. Power of the Lord is compared to the power of the potter to rework the clay. And in the same way that God molds a nation or a community or an individual until it conforms to his plan. And we see this combination of being chosen and yet also being given a choice. Chosen for God's plan and God's purpose, molded and shaped to be worthy vessels, but also given the choice to harden or to conform. On Monday evening, I went with five of our youth to make promises happen in Guthrie to serve as counselors for Camp Horizon, and it's a specialty camp for those with Prader-Willi syndrome. Tuesday morning, as I sat out on the back deck studying this passage for today while we were waiting on the campers to arrive, God impressed upon me, this is your potter's house. And so throughout the week, I was intent to watch, to listen, and to learn the lessons that God had for me throughout the week. And today, I want to share a few of those lessons with you. I want to start with the place. Make Promises Happen is housed at Central Christian Camp right outside of Guthrie. The grounds there are beautiful. And there have been a lot of recent updates. There's a new pool. There's an area with numerous low elements challenges. There is a rock wall with a high element zip line that will accommodate special needs. They can hoist those campers up to the top of that 100-foot platform and let them zip line down the line just like a regular camper. There are modern cabins, which is a very misleading description. Each of our groups last week had to move out of our cabins for various reasons. There are also rustic cabins, the difference being that the restrooms in those cabins are housed across the street from the cabins. There are a variety of activities for the campers to enjoy, including axe throwing and archery, hay rides and fishing, paddle boats, etc. As I said earlier, the grounds are beautiful, and yet
keeping the facility updated is an ongoing battle, especially with limited resources. FCC donated close to $30,000 from parking revenue to make Promises happen last year, and I was told it literally allowed camp to happen following COVID. You all donated $1,000 for much-needed supplies at the beginning of camp. They bought arts and crafts supplies, things that they needed to make camp happen last week. Make Promises Happen serves campers of all ages. That's really important because a lot of times when we think about camp, we think about kids. But they serve young children all the way up to older adults with a variety of illnesses and special needs. They serve those with diabetes and Down syndrome and everything in between. The entire spectrum of special needs are served. Camp Horizon is for those with Prader-Willi, probably something that you've not heard of before. It's a separate camp for a variety of reasons. This place is a very special place, and not because of the amenities or the lack thereof, but because of the passion of the people who serve there and because of the incredible needs of the purposes they fulfill. We didn't open a Bible all week long unless it was in our own private study. The only prayers that were offered by campers at mealtime, but I will tell you that was some of the most simple and yet powerful prayers I've ever heard, along with, I'm sure, the silent prayers of campers, counselors, and leaders that were lifted up often throughout the week. There were no devotions or Bible lessons, but God was present there in a multitude of ways. Prader-Willi is a chromosome disorder that is extremely rare. It's something that this population is born with, but it is also very difficult to diagnose. Our students were told that they will most likely, at the end of the week, know more about the effects than most doctors because they have lived with these students throughout the course of a week. The lack of ability to absorb nutrients results in a variety of issues. Physically, they have little to no muscle tone. They're mostly bone and skin and some flab that hangs from that bone wrapped in skin. Most of them are short in stature with very small hands and feet. Most are extremely developmentally delayed with speech impediments. Most cannot write or read. If they do so, it's at a very elementary level. The major issue is the feeling that they are starving always. Can you imagine? Because their body doesn't absorb nutrients, they have this constant feeling of extreme hunger. Their physical issues require much fewer calories the day than our daily needs. In fact, I tracked their calories one day. They were right at 525. But if they eat too much, their stomachs will rupture. That constant hunger results in a variety of issues, including picking at the skin or biting, anything that will create more pain and will cause a distraction from the pain that they already experience. Maybe you're thinking, misshapen pots. I mean, something must have gone wrong in the potter's hand, right? Vessels that are in need of a makeover. Takes very little time around this group to realize they aren't the flawed vessels. In fact, I like to say that we are all flawed vessels. God created us that way. God created us throughout the course of our journey to be molded and shaped and reworked. Our purpose is not to be perfect from birth. None of us are that. Our purpose is to remain pliable and soft and changeable and transformable so that God can shape us into what He wants us to be. We are all imperfect in different ways, and the ways that we learn are to be in relationship with one another and to learn from from one another. I learned so much last week from my friends with Prader-Willi. The first one is one that we all know well. We talk about it often, and yet I at least find myself always in need of continual and constant reminders, and that is to practice gratitude. You know, these were some of the most grateful people that I have ever met in my life. Two cups of coffee in the morning, and you'd think they'd won the lottery. If that's literally all they need to have joy that lasts them throughout the course of the day. They relish simple, numerous simple things, arts and crafts. Those become treasures for them, simple meals. Outdoors, fishing, swimming, throwing an axe, friends, dancing, performing at a talent show. It always amazes me that those who seem to have the least to be thankful for are the most grateful for what they have. I cannot tell you the number of times throughout the week that I heard, "Thank you. Thank you for helping me spread my jelly on my toast. Thank you for walking with me this morning. Thank you for cutting up my chicken. Thank you so much for being here this week." One camper, Tony, said thank you more than 50 times the first morning of camp. Saying thank you is his specialty. He may not have upper body strength. He may not score high on an IQ test, but his gratitude muscle, it was bulging. He certainly reminded me of the work that I have, the need that I have for work in that area. I learned that a positive attitude makes all the difference. Rhonda is 65. Her speech is advanced, at least in comparison to the others. She was fairly easy to understand, and she constantly told us all how much she enjoyed every part of camp. She loved the arts and crafts, every single one. She still had all of her previous treasures at home. She told me that she keeps them displayed and visible. She holds them from time to time. She rolls them around in her hands and touches them and remembers the fun that she had making them at camp. It's what carries her through until the next year when she can be at camp. She ziplined. She ziplined. And at the end, she said it was good. It was a lot of fun. She participated in every single activity. She was even at the pool every single day, even though she wore a button-up cardigan while she was there. Her positive attitude was infectious, rubbing off on the campers and the counselors. It's really hard to be grumpy when you're around someone with a genuinely positive attitude. Man, I want to be like Rhonda. I want to be the one that turns a negative attitude into a positive attitude, not the one who allows my positive attitude to be turned negative by someone or someone. It's a world changer. Campers with Prader-Willi don't recognize age. They don't recognize the expectations or the restrictions that come with it. They are all friends, young and old. And they don't outgrow the enjoyment of a coloring page. They still dance and have a lot of fun doing it. They love their talent show, but it's not about shining alone. Many of them perform in pairs, sharing the stage with a friend and applauding the other to the max. Learned that nothing takes away from the human desire to be loved, to be valued, to be connected. The camp directors told us that at Camp Horizon, the campers are unique in that they don't have crushes on other counselors or on staff. They have crushes on one another. I don't think I can explain the relationship drama. It's something that you have to witness to understand, but they have each other's backs like nothing you have ever seen, and they care for each other deeply. I couldn't help but think as I watched that that's exactly how God intended the church to be. Yes, our emotions sometimes get in the way, but there's something bigger that unites us in ways that are deeper than any of us will ever understand. Discipleship takes place that make promises happen in a very unique and powerful way. At the end of each day, the camp directors take time to talk with the teens who serve. They listen to their struggles and their successes. They answer any questions that they might have. They offer counsel and guidance. They are patient and encouraging, informative and instructive. I learned last week that not all, but many of the teens who serve week after week to escape their own difficulties at home. You would never know that watching them at camp. They are amazing. Tending to the needs of another, having the responsibility of making sure that someone with special needs has a great week at camp, and having that solely your responsibility accomplishes something amazing in those who serve. They not only rise to the challenge, they exceed it in every way possible. It really is nothing short of miraculous. I could give you thousands of examples, but we don't have time for that. I do want to give you a couple. Dawson is 16, and he was assigned to Jared. Jared is one of the more physically challenged campers in the group. He is mostly blind. His speech is very difficult to discern. To compensate for that, he talks really loud and a lot. 100% of the campers this year chose to do the zip line. They have the option of being hoisted up or to climb up the rock wall. Jared wanted to climb the rock wall. Dawson guided Jared's hands and feet onto every foot and handhold, and then with his shoulder hoisted him all the way up that 100-foot slanted rock wall. Can you imagine what they felt like, both of them, when they reached the top? This is a challenge that most of us could not accomplish, let alone a blind young man with very little to no muscle tone. And that wasn't even the end of it. Later that night, we went fishing. The rods were baited with flies and the fish weren't biting on them. Dawson took Jared over and overturned a log, and then he found a grub. And he very gently placed that grub into Jared's hand, told him what it was, helped him to bait his hook, helped him, he didn't do this for him, he helped him to cast the line and to catch a fish. Two very simple examples out of a week that was filled with thousands of similar accomplishments. This is life-changing for most of these campers, getting to do things that they don't normally get to do. They look forward to it with eager anticipations, but they aren't the only lives that are changed for the better. These are multi-purpose events that are so needed and so very necessary. I want to conclude with a few words about the kids from our church who serve. We sent 3 first-time counselors, CJ, Hannah, and Miss Layla. Guys, they just jumped right in, and they exceeded every expectation. I am so proud of them. Please don't think that this is easy. I'm still absorbing how these teens can step into such an incredible challenge and do it so well. Riley and Mia are our experienced counselors. I don't even know how many camps that they've served at since our first camp in 2019. Mia is signed up for 3 camps this summer, and Riley has volunteered for 4 summer camps. That's in the midst of a very busy summer schedule. I just want to say that God is working in these young people in some mighty, incredible, and he's making them into some mighty, incredible vessels. This week, they poured out compassion, empathy, understanding, and love amidst some of the most challenging circumstances possible. They didn't just show up at the Potter's house. They stepped onto the potter's wheel and they allowed their hearts to be reshaped. And that's not just empty words. That requires risk, vulnerability, and pain. Yet something beautiful emerges. I hope you recognize what God has accomplished in and through them, in and through you and your efforts, and I pray that our church will continue to support, will do even more to support the amazing work that happens just a few miles down the highway. Let's not just gather weekly and hear scripture. Let's be disciples and followers ourselves. Let's step outside the temple. Whether it's make promises happen or whether it's another place that God leads you, go, visit, learn from people and the work they do. God is calling you to meet Him through the lives and experiences of others. May you go and watch and listen and learn and be changed for the better. Amen.